Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk show host, Randy Fine. And today's special guest, Julie Ryan, is an inventor, entrepreneur, psychic, and a medical intuitive who learned how to do, quote unquote, woo-woo more than 20 years ago after inventing a number of widely used surgical devices and founding 9 companies across the medical, natural gas, and advertising industries. She settled into her natural talents as a psychic and medical intuitive, going on to write her book, Angelic Attendance, What Really Happens as We Transition from This Life into the Next. Her podcast, Ask Julie Ryan, has listeners from all over the world, many of whom call in to partake in Julie's buffet of psychicness. That's her quote. So Julie is a medical intuitive. She can sense what medical conditions and illnesses a person has. She can facilitate energetic healing. She can see energy fields. She communicates with spirits both alive and dead, and she can see some things that nobody can see. You're going to be amazed at what we talk about in this show that I've found in her book. So we're going to get started. Let's welcome Julie. Good morning, Julie. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, so much fun. It's great to have you. Thank you. Okay, Julie. So you started off as someone, you know, doing inventions and medical, natural gas, advertising. Where did this switch come where you all of a sudden became, you know, intuitive and psychic and started seeing things? And was there a transition, a shift, or was this always there for you?
Well, I think everybody's born with intuitive capabilities, Randy. We've all had experiences where we think of someone and we either run into them or they call us and both seem like they're out of the blue, and they're not. We're in communication with them telepathically. And we've all had that experience. We think, oh, what a coincidence. Well, no coincidences in life. So we're all born with the ability. It's just learning to develop it. And as you mentioned, I am a businesswoman who learned how to do woo-woo. And I 26-ish years ago, over 25 years ago, I had a friend give me a book called Anatomy of the Spirit by Carolyn Mace. who calls herself
a medical
intuitive.
I have it on my bookshelf.
Intuitive.
I have that book on my bookshelf. But okay.
Right. And that was the first time I had heard the word medical intuitive, and I thought, what the heck is that? And at that time and throughout all of my career, up until recently when I sold my medical device manufacturing company a few years ago, I was involved in the medical business on the supply side. So inventing surgical devices, working with practitioners of how can we help facilitate healing in Western medicine, as we know it. And so I was intrigued with healing in general, and the medical intuitive really piqued my interest. So I read her book, and I wanted to know more. And back then, that was before Amazon, and really before the internet was very much the right, we weren't using the internet like we do today. And so I did the old-fashioned thing, Randy. I went to a bookstore to see if there were any other books on this topic. And I found a book by Barbara Brennan called Hands of Light. And Barbara Brennan is a former NASA physicist who took very complex quantum physics principles and parlayed them into understandable English for the non-scientific mind, like mine. And so I read her book and learned about energy fields and the possibility of energy healing and all of that. And again, wanted to know more. I'm just a naturally curious person. So I wanted to know more, and I called her school to see if there was somebody in my area that was teaching, perhaps a graduate, and sure enough, there was. And so I studied with that woman for 6 years and have been doing this work for over 25 years now, really around the world with thousands and thousands, really tens of thousands of people at this point.
Amazing. Okay. So I want to talk about the most mind-blowing aspect of what you do, and it's in your book, Angelic Attendance. And I've never heard anyone speak about what happens as we're dying, and that's really what you talk about in such great, with such great clarity. I mean, it's truly amazing. So let's talk about that. Okay, how many, there's several stages to the dying process. How many stages are there?
I perceive there are what I call the 12 phases of transition. And it happens with everybody as they're dying, regardless of if they die instantly in a homicide or suicide or a car accident or whatever, or whether they're dying over days, weeks, months, years. I have a gal who's called into my show, who called into my show for 2 years, over 2 years, and her father was in the final phase of transition, which is 11, before they take off to go to heaven. He was in phase 11 for 2 years, Randy. So it doesn't matter, because remember, time in our human world is not time in the spirit world. Our linear time is a man-made concoction. It's a man-made invention. And so what seems like 100 years in our world may be a nanosecond in the spirit world. So it's not the same. We're not comparing apples to apples. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I am aware of that. Yeah.
So,
it makes sense.
So what I see is that everyone is surrounded by angels and deceased loved ones. Even deceased pet spirits are there, which is a riot. That's just when I first saw that, I laughed out loud. I thought, oh my goodness, you know, here are these dog spirits and these other animal spirits that I have seen throughout the years working with countless families who have a loved one who's dying. And sometimes, Randy, I see farm animal spirits in the room, and I'll say, "Was your grandmother, she grew up on a farm, or did she live on a farm?" And there are cows, spirits, and chicks, and ducks, and pigs, and goats, and it's just hilarious. It's hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
And then I describe what the animals look like. Obviously, I describe what the relatives look like, too. But I describe what they all look like, and they say, "Oh, yeah, that was my dog Fluffy, or that was my Aunt Janice," or whatever. It's really fun.
So there's a distinct pattern to how the spirit world shows up,
right.
Where they show up, where they place themselves. So Can you explain that, what you see happening?
Yes. We are all spirits attached to a body having a human experience, and most of us are taught in cultures and religions that talk about this kind of thing, that the spirit is somewhere in the chest area. At least that's how I was raised. And that's not what I perceive. What I perceive is that the body's inside the spirit. And so the spirit is the power source for the body. When the spirit and the body separate at the time of death, that's why the body doesn't work anymore. So what I perceive, Randy, is that the spirit starts to detach from the body, which is all holographic. It starts to detach, but as it's detaching from the body, it hangs on to the top of the person's head who's dying, and it looks like a bubble in a cartoon caption, where the words or the thoughts of the character are put in a cartoon. And then it stays there throughout these 12 phases of transition. And so that would be phase one, that the spirit bubble is what I call it, is present and is visible to me in my, you know, when I turn my radar on, I turn my abilities on and off at will. I don't walk around scanning people because I don't think that's ethical. And not to mention, I don't really want to know. You know, imagine if I was in a crowd of people and I was getting all this information on everyone. That would be exhausting. So I turn my abilities on and off. And so the spirit bubble is present on the top of the head. And then the mother, the closest maternal spirit, comes in. And that's the spirit that runs the show as the person is dying. And it's really fascinating to me because as a mother, and you may be a mother, most of us believe when our kids are raised, you know, we're pretty much done taking care of them. We're certainly involved in their lives, hopefully, but we're not taking care of them. Well, let me tell you, we run the show from the spirit world when our children are dying. And if the mother of the person who's dying is still alive, it's going to be the closest maternal relative that will be running the show. So if the mother's alive, it'll be her mother if she's deceased. If the grandmother's still alive, it will be the grandmother's mother. It's always on the maternal line, always. And that's the spirit that comes in first. Then the closest paternal spirit on the mother's line, on the maternal line. So for instance, if the person's actual father is still alive, then it will be the grandfather on the patient's mother's side. Does that make sense?
Yes, and are they lined up behind each other or next to each other?
Next to each other, at the person's feet.
Okay.
So then when the paternal spirit shows up, then angels show up. And these are big old angels as I perceive them, Randy. They are over 6 feet tall, and they have big wings and white robes and all that. Is that what angels really look like? Who knows? That's how I picture angels, so that's how they appear to me. Somebody in a different culture may picture angels or an angelic spirit as a purple ball of energy. It's however the person pictures angels is how the spirits will appear to that person. So I can recognize who it is, who's there. And they form a circle around the person who's dying with the parent spirits anchoring that circle at their feet. And then as the person gets closer and closer to death, that circle of angels opens up into a horseshoe. Other spirits come in, deceased loved ones and friends. Eventually that horseshoe ends up being a straight line at the person who's dying's feet. And it ends up as a line of demarcation between the spirit world and our human world. And it's almost as if the angels are there for crowd control of the spirits, because there's so many of them that come to welcome us when we're dying, kind of like at a football game, Randy, when you're getting near the end of the game, especially college football, and the police are lining the perimeter of the field in case the fans want to charge the field, you know, after a big win.
That's kind of like the angels. That's what the angels do.
Yeah, it's like they're crowd control. It's a riot. And so then the other thing that's interesting, as I mentioned, pets show up. But around phase five, extra angels appear on either side of the person's spirit bubble. And by about phase nine, their wings start to move. those two angels on either side of the person's spirit bubble above their head. And that movement of those wings creates an upward pull, creates a vortex with an upward draft. And it reminds me of driving through a car wash when you're sitting in the car and at the end they turn on the dryer and it sucks all the water off your car, you know, going through the car wash. It feels like that. It's like a funnel cloud that you'll see on a tornado. That's what it looks like to me. But there's a physical upward pull I can find, and that's what helps the spirit finally separate from the body. And it was interesting on that. When I first saw it, it reminded me of a giant owl's wings. That if you've ever seen a documentary on a giant owl flying or some kind of show, you can almost feel the drag that those wings make as they're silently flying through the air. And so when I was writing the book, I thought, just for kicks, I'm going to Google giant owl wings vortex. And there's so much information online about what's called the wingtip vortex. And it's what happens with every flying animal, bird, bug, jet, plane, whatever. It creates a lift that looks like a vortex, like a funnel cloud for a tornado, that causes the lift. And I thought, oh my God, I'm seeing, you know, this angelic maneuver that's having an effect that I can feel in my physical body. There's thousands of drawings and stuff online about the wingtip vortex. I thought that was remarkable.
It is remarkable. Wow. And this vortex you describe as what we perceive as the tunnel, or what most people who have had near-death experiences perceive as the tunnel. You believe that that's the tunnel that they see.
I believe that the tunnel that they see and they feel and go through starts when the spirit starts separating from the body, even when it's hanging on to the top of the head. I think that's all part of it. And then when they see that brilliant light, that's them going through the funnel. You're right, through the vortex. Yes.
Okay. Now, have you had any people who were in active passing, have you had them see any of these people, dogs, animals, angels?
Oh, yeah.
Have you had them say anything?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so what do you hear people say?
Absolutely. They'll talk about that their mother, can you see my mom? And their mom's been dead for 80 years or something. You know what I mean? It's somebody that's maybe old. People, even in the hospice literature, Randy, it's very prevalent. Expect your dying loved one to talk about seeing deceased loved ones and perhaps even religious figures or pets that were cherished, pets that are deceased. And before I started being able to perceive this, I had heard of that. And I think we in general as a population think, oh, grandma's hallucinating. Well, grandma's not hallucinating. Grandma's actually seeing the people she's telling you she's seeing. And what I find is that it's very comforting for the person who's dying. I call the spirits that come the Welcome to Heaven Committee. And I'm old enough that when I was a kid, they had the welcome wagon ladies in my neighborhood. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And they would, you know, if somebody moved into the neighborhood, they would bring a basket of goodies and welcome the person to the neighborhood. Well, this is the Welcome to Heaven Committee. And so they're always there to greet the person who's dying, who's transitioning. And the interesting thing about that is so many people I hear say to me, I'm so afraid I'm going to die alone. Well, I can honestly tell you, nobody dies alone. All of our deceased loved ones are there waiting for us as we transition. They're all there.
Well, so I want to talk more about this, but we do have a couple of callers. So let's see what these callers want to ask you. Okay? You ready to do that?
Great. Okay. Sure.
Okay, I'm connecting. Okay, good morning. Area code 720. Did you want to talk to Julie? Hi.
Sure. Well, I just want to say, well, I have to ask the question, but I want to say that I'm starting to work in a hospice, so, and I've had a lot of deaths around me, and so I do feel like that's a calling, and I really appreciate you going over the process of how they're let go and how they transition.
What's your name?
My name is Lola.
Hi, Lola. Good morning. First of all, Lola, if you go to my website, askjulieryan.com, you'll see one of the tabs is the 12 phases of transition and graphics of what I just talked to Randy about with what the different phases are. There are graphics on there. You can see them, and you can download a chart of what they look like, and it's got a legend on it that, you know, different colored, like the angels are yellow and the family of spirits are blue, and you'll see that on the chart. And you, what have you witnessed in your work?
Oh, so many things. I'm just starting to do the hospice now, but just so many things. And with the maternal grandmother, I totally agree with that. Because whenever I would ever have a reading, my grandmother would come in and it would be on my mother's thigh. I'm like, see, why do you come in every time? It makes sense now. Like, not that I don't want to talk to her. Of course I do. You know, I'm just like, hey, what's going on with you every time? So, anyway.
You know what's interesting about that, I find, with the maternal line. And, Randy, we were talking about religion earlier, and you told me that you were Jewish. And isn't it true that, you know, with the Jews, if your mom's a Jew, you're a Jew, right? I mean, isn't
That's absolutely true, yes.
Yeah, and in other cultures, the same thing goes, that it's the maternal line that is the, not that the guys aren't important. I mean, you know, we need the sperm donors, but it's the maternal
line. Do we?
Right.
You know.
I did have one question. I wonder if I could actually ask one second question, if that's okay.
Yes.
Okay. I am actually taking a test today for a job, and I'm just wondering if I'm going to pass this test.
With flying colors. Yes.
Makes me feel so much better.
Yay. Congratulations.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Done deal.
That's wonderful.
You just got to go. You just got to go through the motions. Yeah.
Thank you guys for doing what you do for people. You don't understand how it helps people. So, I mean, obviously,
oh,
you do, but I just really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing your
You're
your
so gracious,
work
Lola.
Work.
Appreciate it. We appreciate it. Okay. I'm going to put you back on hold, all right? Okay, let's just take this other caller. Okay, good morning. Area code 347. Good morning. What is your name?
Hi, my name is Keisha. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, sure. What is your name again? Kate?
Keisha.
Keisha. Okay, Keisha. And what is your question?
I have a question. I am thinking about moving to Atlanta, and I'm currently in New York, and I'm thinking about moving in a month, and I'm just wondering, how is this transition going to go, if it's going to go, if I'm going to find a job? I'm just wondering about it.
Hi, Keisha. Good morning.
Hi.
I asked a question, and I'm going to teach you real fast how to do this for yourself, too. I ask
yes,
the question, is it in Keisha's best interest to move to Atlanta within a month? And the first thing that pops in your head when you ask a question, like within a second, is going to be divine guidance. If you think about it for more than a second, it's going to be your brain talking to you. Okay, so you always want to preface it on something like this when you're asking for advice. Is it in my best interest to? And be super specific, because spirits are really literal. Mm-hmm. So if we want to get advice that's usable, applicable, we got to be really specific. So I was really glad you added the 30 days within the next 30 days. I got to know that it's not in your best interest to move there in the next 30 days. So
okay.
Maybe
spread it to 60?
refine that down, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, change it
so,
up.
So can
change
I try it?
It
and, So let me try it. Can I try right now and then?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So spirits, angels, is it in my best interest to move to Atlanta within the next 75 days?
I got
okay,
a yes.
I got an answer.
I got a no on 60. Yeah. Yeah. So
very yeah, I got a yes on that too.
The reason why I say, you know, ask it that way, because there are a bazillion variables that come into play that can affect an outcome. And things that are in the future are unfolding, so nothing's set in stone. Stuff that's happening right now is set in stone. Stuff that's happened in the past is set in stone. So if you ever talk to a psychic that says, hey, I guarantee you this is going to happen, run the other direction, because nobody knows. Too many variables. But I got a yes on 75.
Yeah, I just want to ask some question. I had
this
my
moment,
job.
At this moment in time, I get a 75. That is subject to change.
Right. They are all. I was on a temp assignment and it ended yesterday, and I was just wondering. I don't know if I'm wondering why. I mean, I didn't like it, so I don't know. Wonder why. Or just look for something else and just let it go.
So what's your question?
I guess I'm just wondering why did it end the temp assignment?
Funding.
They did say that. They actually did say that. Okay. So I'll just look for something else. They actually did say that, and they did say I didn't do anything wrong. They did say that.
Okay. Well, thanks, Keisha.
Thank you for calling in. I appreciate
you
both taking my call. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for calling. Okay. So let's get back to the conversation. And so in your book, you say, you know, that people say, well, if you've lived the life of a criminal or been a bad person or whatever you've done, do you still have the setup when you go? So can you clarify that for us? Oh, wait a minute. What did I do with Jolie? Jolie, hold on. Hold on, Jolie.
Okay,
are you there, Jolie?
I am, yes.
Okay, somehow I put you on hold. Okay, great. So did you hear my question?
I did. All spirits are pure love and light. Limitless beings of pure love and light, and you know, everything is made out of positive energy. So we think of the Hitlers of the world or the Osama bin Ladens or people that we think were really awful. That's their personality. That's what they wanted to experience in this lifetime. When they die, all of that stays with the body. The spirit is all pure love and light. So everybody goes to heaven, you know, like the movie, All Dogs Go to Heaven. All people go to heaven too. It's. And that's a concept that's hard for people. That's a paradigm for a lot of people to resist, because we've been conditioned over millennia with heaven, hell, when you die, are you going to fly or fry? You know, that kind of a concept. And you think about it, that was used by cultures and religions to control the masses, because what's the best control of humans? It's fear. So that's where that came from. But, yeah, no, everybody goes to heaven. It's all glorious. When somebody dies, it's a glorious thing that I see transpire in this spirit world, no matter how awful or tragic or whatever, there's always a glorious component to the transition process when somebody dies.
It's truly amazing. And so if somebody has a sudden death, it's really sudden in the physical world, but the spiritual world has already prepared it. Is that what you, is that the way it works?
Yeah. It's all there. It all happens in a nanosecond. So again, it's hard for us in our human capabilities to try and comprehend how that could work, but that's what I've just been told over and over and over and over again by spirit, is that our linear time is not spirit world time. It's not the same. The other thing that's interesting about all these 12 phases of transition, too, if I can take a minute to mention this, Randy, is I was raised Roman Catholic. And there's a prayer that's said at the end of every Catholic funeral called In Paradisum. And it talks about that the angels and your loved ones will greet you and lead you into paradise. And when I was researching this for my book, I mean, I'd heard it my whole life going to funerals, but it never occurred to me until I watched this whole thing unfold with my own mother who was dying. That's the first time I saw this in 2002. And so when I researched it, what I found was that prayer originated as a 5th century Gregorian chant. And so I have to believe that people have been able to see these phases of transition since the beginning of time. And perhaps it just took till the 5th century till somebody got the idea to write it down as a prayer. And certainly some of the most learned men were in monasteries at the time.
That is really interesting. Well,
so maybe it took till the 5th century for somebody who had the ability to read and write to write that down. And I really think people have been able to see this through the ages. And as we've become more well-educated in the last 150 years or so, I mean, one of my grandmothers didn't finish grade school in the early, in 1902. And then I had another grandmother that finished college who was the same age. But certainly there were many people that weren't well-educated. My husband had a grandmother who was born in, I think, 1870 or something. She couldn't read or write. And we think, oh, my gosh, that was so far away. But you think it was only a couple generations away for a lot of families. So as we've become more well-educated, we have become more proof-based. And I believe that we discount our intuitive capabilities because we want proof of it. And so we discount the intuitive information and psychic information that we all have access to.
I agree with you. I had a guest on, my guest on Wednesday, yeah, she was talking about the veil, you know, the veil that we have mm-hmm. and why it came, why it's there and that how we can, you know, see through it or move it, move the veil, clear the veil. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, we all do have this talent. It's just that I think that when you receive psychic information, now you're seeing your what is the kind where you actually see? I forget. There's clairaudient.
Clairvoyant.
You're clairvoyant. Okay, mm-hmm. You're clairvoyant.
I'm all of them.
You can see. You can do all of them. Okay. Mm-hmm. A lot of us just receive clairaudient, and but we don't realize that we're receiving it because it comes in the form of a thought often. So
spirits
people
communicate
don't
telepathically.
Yeah, exactly. And so because it comes telepathically, we tend to think that it's a thought, but it's our thought. So that's mm-hmm. something that we have to be aware of. And once I became aware of that, the messages started coming in a lot faster. They were always mm-hmm. there, but I guess I was receiving them. So now I rely on that. I used to be a hospice volunteer for 5 years. I did that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I've had these experiences, but, you know, I've had people tell me that there were several people in the room, but not, you know, I never understood it. You have set this up in a way that's so easy to grasp. I really like this. So tell me how it looks to you. Are you seeing these angels, so you describe the angels, but you're actually seeing the people in dress and everything like that?
Yes. And it's wild, Randy, because there are so many spirits that are in the room. They're as part of the Welcome to Heaven Committee, I call them. They dress in period dress. And so I'll see people that are dressed in modern day dress and some from the Middle Ages and some from the 60s with the go-go boots and the mini skirts and all of that. And
oh, my gosh.
It's just, it's hilarious. And And when my own mother was dying, I was seeing people who had been in her life and my life who'd been dead for 25 years. And they showed up looking exactly what they looked like when I was a kid or growing up. And then I saw people who were relatives of hers, for instance, her paternal grandmother, who she was very close to. Well, I never knew that woman, but I had seen her in pictures, and she looked exactly like she looked in the pictures. She looked like Annie M. from The Wizard of Oz, with her hair pulled back like that. This is a fun thing. I see these people also in the spirits, and they all show up in period dress so that I can describe to the family what they look like. Oftentimes when somebody's having surgery, I'll do a scan on them while they're in the operating room. And I can read the anesthesia equipment. I can tell you how many surgeons are in the room. I can tell you where they are in the surgery. I think all my background in the hospital supply business and being in and out of these departments in the hospital for all these decades is why I did that. But one in particular, and I talk about this in the book, I was scanning a woman in San Francisco who was having spinal fusion surgery. And there are always deceased loved ones, spirits in the room, and the person's guardian angel and all of that. So these spirits in the room, a lot of them look like they were dirty, Randy. They look like they had, like soot or something on them. They reminded me of the chimney sweeps from the Mary Poppins movie.
Right.
They were all covered in soot. And so I said that to this woman who was having surgery. I said that to her husband, and I said, spirits just look dirty. They look like chimney sweeps or something. They have soot on them. And he said, well, her family for four generations or something, they were all coal miners in West Virginia. And I said, well, no, I didn't know that. And he said, oh, yeah. So they all worked in the mines. It was coal dust on these spirits that were in the OR while this woman was having surgery, so I could describe that to the family so they knew that all these family members who worked in coal mines, their spirits were there supporting the patient. Now, that's pretty, I can't make that stuff up.
No, and you cannot. What an amazing life you have. This is just absolutely wonderful. What a gift that you have. And, I don't know. I mean, we can all learn to tap into the spirit world, but you've obviously had a natural affinity for this because you see things so clearly. So did you ever have these feelings, these psychic feelings when you were younger? Did you ever entertain things or did you ever see spirits when you were a kid?
No, I developed all this. I learned how to do all this. And that's
really
what I teach in my classes. Yeah, I teach classes. Actually, I'm in my fourth class for this year, and it's over 4 weeks, 2 hours on four Saturdays in a row. That's what I teach in my classes. And what it's about is being able to hold an energy vibration that's super, super high, and then it allows you to do whatever you want to do, whatever you're interested in. I equate it to if we teach somebody how to read, they can learn whatever they want. If I can transfer this super high vibrational level to my students, which is what I do, then they can take it wherever they want. And it's just being interested in it. What are you interested in? And everybody's able to do it. It was the second week of this class. I limit the class to 12, Randy, and we had the second week. And the first hour is lecture and discussion. The second hour is practicum. So we're practicing doing this. It's a blast. And so there were a couple of students who said, oh, I feel terrible because everybody else is having luck at doing this and I'm not able to do it. Well, guess what? Everybody did it in the class. And they would ask a question to spirit, and then the whole class would get an answer, and we would compare notes. And everybody is able to do it. This is in 2 weeks. This is after three hours of
now. Are you doing this in a location, or are you doing this through video? Are you actually sitting in the room, right?
No, it's online on a Zoom platform, so we're all in a virtual classroom. So in each class, I'll have people from multiple countries taking the class This time I have most, 11 of the students are in America, one's in London. She's on real time with us. So it's noon central, 6 o'clock her time in London. A previous class I had people in 4 countries, America, the UK, Italy, and South Africa. And so we're all doing it together, real time. And it's amazing how it enhances their life, not just for people who want to be practitioners, but in every area of their life, because it allows them to connect with any spirit alive or deceased. Think about what kind of guidance you can get on anything that it hasn't in any area of your life. And that's what they see. Everybody that takes the class, and there'll be about 35 now this year that have taken the class, they all say, oh my God, I had no idea how I could live a life of joy that was unimaginable and how this has changed my life. So it's really fun. We just have a ball doing it.
So we can find out more about that on your website?
Yes.
AskJulieRyan.com?
Yes. Yeah. And my next class is going to be in February. So people are starting to consider signing up for the February class. That'll be the next class that I teach.
Okay. Oh, well, I'm intrigued. I know so many of my listeners are intrigued too, because, you know, this is something, well, I just think some people embrace this and some people don't, but those of us who embrace it would love to be able to have this ability. I mean, well, you say we all have the ability,
yeah,
but to learn how to do this, myself included.
Right, right. And if you can communicate with spirit, anybody who's alive, anybody who's deceased, in the class last session, which I think was in July and August, one of my students was a retired rocket scientist, Randy, and he was working on some theorem, and he wanted to talk to Albert Einstein. So we pulled Albert Einstein into the class, and the whole class got to witness this, and Einstein helped him solve this theorem that he was working on and gave him all this technical stuff, but none of the rest of us knew what it was. But it was so much fun, and that's what I was talking about, when you have the ability to connect with any spirit, that's all you need. It's like being able to read. You can learn whatever you want, and then obviously the more you do it, the more practice you get, the more your skills continue to come in. Even after 26 years of doing that, some of the healings that I see when I'm doing a medical scan on somebody, the healings continue to become more advanced, more complex, more fantastic, where a lot of the time I see healings with devices and methodologies that haven't been invented yet. And
the show is about to cut us off. So I don't want it to cut us off before I thank you so much. This was great. What a great show. I love the topic. You're amazing, and thank you for teaching people how to do this. And I want to know how to do it, so I'm going to look at your website.
Wonderful.
Anyway, your book is Angelic Attendance. I imagine that could be purchased on anywhere online, and probably on
and
your
in
website.
Libraries.
And
it's
in libraries.
In libraries too. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And in some churches and synagogues, so which you told me, which is great.
Right.
Anyway, thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure.
My pleasure's all mine. Thanks, Randy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
We are out of time today, but if you have any comments or questions, you can email me at loveyourlife@randyfine.com. RANDIFINE.com. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.